Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors.
We're
your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and remembering
our favors.
Greetings and welcome this morning, this beautiful Sunday morning, for our Sunday broadcast of Imam Tohin Shabbat's Reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us again this morning as we have a powerful and profound discussion today. One is that's sort of touchy for some of us because we don't want to think about it, but it's something that we should always be thinking about. Because we're only journeying through here. And people, we want you to listen carefully and to think. Because this is what your whole life is about. And this is what we are preparing for. We travelers in this world. And today's discussion will be the day the trumpets will be sounded. It reminds you of what they call old times. So you remember hearing those sermons years ago about the trumpet being sounded. Well, people, it's a reality. And today we'd like to discuss it in a way that you will understand and accept the reality. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Thank you very much for joining us again this Sunday. As again, too, we will have some wonderful, wonderful guest speakers and imams and a powerful discussion for you. Please join the discussion at any time by pushing the number one button on your phone. When your number shows up in the studio, we will call on you for comments or questions and love to hear from you. We want your feedback. This is your show, not our show, your show. And we are here to give you, to answer your concerns and to give you a little understanding, a little piece of what reality of the Creator is all about. And now I give to you Imam Shahid Shabazz. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. Forgive me. I don't know. Sometimes my goes away there. I have to put you on. I'm in turn. I'm sorry. I didn't hit the button to turn you on. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. I failed to hit the button and I didn't hear you. All right, you're on the air, brother.
Okay. First and foremost of all, I greet all of the listening audience and the greetings of peace are from the source of peace, Allah's the source of peace and perfection. And this Allah's peace that is the that keeps the love and the joy in our life with each other. We have to make peace with Allah. And this prayer is the opening prayer of the Holy Quran. And this prayer will teach us how to make peace with each other as human beings. Also, this prayer will let us know how to keep the peace with Allah, our Creator, and keep the peace with each other as human beings, as one human race. Not two, not three, but one human race. No different colors. Just one human race. So we'll start and then we'll translate it over into English for the people that don't understand the Arabic language of the Quran. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman, Nir-Rahim, Malik Yomidin, Iyaka na'abudu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Idina sarata mustaqin, sarata ladin amta alayhim, Rahim maqdubi alayhim wa tu'alin. Amen. We just said, people, in the English language, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. We ask Allah to guide us on his straight path, the path that Allah created for the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve, straight path. And this means that we understand that Allah, the way to Allah is a straight way, meaning you cannot be deceptive. You have to be honest and truthful. We ask Allah to bless us to be of those that are honest and truthful, and those who remember Allah always, and protect us from being of those whom Allah, after he guided us to his straight path, from going astray back into this dunya, this dead world, evil world. Amen. So with that said, people, with that said, my beloved audience, I just want to start off. And I just wrote this before the show just came on. Everything Allah created, people, is only a sign that reminds us of Allah. Because he's the creator of everything we see, beginning with ourselves. Allah's reality, people, is an eternal reality. And Allah's reality, people, is unseen. This world that we're in, Allah say, is like the seasons of the year. They come in, and soon they are gone. Allah say in the Quran, on the day of judgment, it will be as if this world never existed, and the hereafter was always here. Because Allah said this world he made only to test the human will. Also, Allah said he tests us with good and evil to see which of us will be best in conduct. So, you know, this is where we want to start off, people. And we want to say that the time for our departure from this world is very near. And we don't know when that time is, but Allah gives us in the Holy Quran, his final revelation, many, many signs to let us know that he is on his way and that he's here. When I say on his way, when Allah actually is here, there will be no more evil on this planet Earth. Allah in the beginning said he created the creation in six stages. We say time of six stages of evolutions. And he said in every 1,000 years, they say, he said everything he created in the heavens and earth, he ordained that it was good. So the nature of all creation is good. That's why people find peace just by going out there looking at the beautiful sun, looking at nature. Nature is so beautiful. Because why? Nature reflects the beauty of the Creator, Allah. Allah wants us to learn from nature. Allah said he also created the nature of good in every human being. So Allah's al-Mukti, the originator of the good, all good comes from Allah. And Allah is also, we must understand and live every day like it's our last day. Allah is Al-Mushi, the reckoner. Allah, we got to reckon with Allah for everything we do in this world. And people, this world Allah said he created only for tribes to test our faith. Allah said this world is a magician, an illusionist. Allah say this world is nothing but goods and chattels of deception. You know, and let's understand this a little bit more in the Quran. Why do Allah say goods and chattels of deception? Because most Muslims, most Christian Jews, most people, period, and all religions, and just most people in general, they say, you can hear them saying, I'm good. I got me a good car. I got me a good wife. I got me a good husband. I got some good children. But in reality, people, all of those things or people you're attributing good to, they don't have any good at all except the goodness of Allah, if they have the goodness of Allah. Allah is all good. So understanding this is so important. Why? Because people have to understand that if they are to change the bad conditions they're experiencing, they must recognize that all good comes from Allah, our Creator, and all the evil that we see this almost destroying the whole human race, that evil comes from Allah, say, ourselves. What self is Allah talking about? Our jinn self. What jinn self am I talking about? That part of us that's in our nature that Allah created to test our faith, that part of our nature that is selfish, like Satan, that wants us to do our own thing, not follow the will of Allah. Satan didn't follow the will of Allah. He rejected the will of Allah. Him and the jinn, the evil jinn spirits that followed him, they got cast out of Allah's eternal heaven. And Allah warns us, don't let the Satan do the same thing to the descendants of Adam and Eve, which is all human beings, all people. What did he do to them? He deceived them to turn their attention away from what Allah was teaching them, the whole of Allah's truth, and he deceived them into believing in good and evil, believing that also lies, you see. So Allah, you know, want us to understand that Satan is our arch enemy, and he's the chief deceiver. He deceives us people into believing that this world and the things in it are real. But he know, because he knew Allah before we was even created, people, human beings. He say no Allah. He know Allah created this world only to test him with his evil and to test the human being with the goodness of Allah in our soul. And Satan is not just trying to destroy human bodies, got human beings destroying each other's body and killing each other physically in wars. But the war that Satan really is defeating most people in is the real war, and that is a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual warfare, people. And you can't fight a spiritual warfare with material things. You can't fight a spiritual warfare with your hands like you boxing. I'm no martial art. I can't fight the spiritual warfare with my martial art. All of these things are physical. All of these things are weak. They have no power. All power is with Allah. And if we want to change our conditions and the evil conditions in this world, it begins with our submission of our total being, heart, mind, body, and soul to Allah. And I'm going to say in my conclusion for now, Prophet Muhammad Mustafa ibn Abdullah, prayers and peace be upon him. Special salutations of all righteous souls in heaven and on earth. Prophet Muhammad, you know, he is indeed the last messenger, prophet, that is, of Allah, and he is a witness of the life that Allah wants all human beings to live. He represents the best of all human beings, all prophets, all messengers. He represents the best of all of us. So I want to encourage all of you Muslims and you Muslims to go and share this with other people. The only way this world going to get better is the way it got better 1,400 years ago during the life of Prophet Muhammad. And the world, and you know, history repeats itself. We back around to the same time of Prophet Muhammad. It's called Jahiliya in Arabic. It means the age of spiritual darkness, meaning that the world at large, people in the world at large, most of them was in complete spiritual darkness, and they was committing all kinds of unthinkable, horrible sins against them, their own human race. Killing babies, that was one thing. Can you imagine killing babies? Back during Prophet Muhammad's time, they was burning little girl babies alive. Today, they're just killing their children with abortion. And the government legalized that. Allah said, don't kill your children for fear of one. He said, I provide for you and I provide for them too if you have faith and trust in me. So abortion is a grave sin against the will of Allah. Don't let this corrupt government tell you nothing else, because this government of the United States, as well as all the governments around the world, they are the leadership is corrupt. And it's trying to, it worked for Satan. And it's trying to destroy the majority of the people in the population. It was one time, and I'm through, in this country, it was the poor, a middle class, and rich. Allah blessed me to know 45 years ago when he blessed me to come in Islam that one day it wasn't going to be no middle class. It was just going to be rich and poor. I could see the pattern. So people know that you only have a little short time here in this world, and it's only for preparing for the real world that comes after this world and everything in it is gone. And that's very soon, Allah say. So with that, I will say assalamu alaikum, and anybody can pick up on that subject I'm talking about, the judgment day, the day the trumpets will be blown, you know, because it's going to be two trumpets blown, and one trumpet is going to be for us to rise from our dead graves. And the next trumpet going to be for us to be standing before Allah for judgment. So this is no game, and it's no joke, people. And most Muslims and most people are taking faith in the Creator like it's a joke. They're doing all kinds, committing all kinds of sins intentionally. They're taking Allah's mercy for granted. And that's the terriblest thing you can do. You can't do nothing no more worse than take the Creator, Allah's mercy, for granted. And then my conclusion, Allah says to all human beings, Muslims, it don't matter about your name, what you call yourself. He said, which of my favors, which of the favors of your Lord will ye deny? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. The honesty is the timely broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. We thank you for joining us this morning, and I apologize, I don't remember giving you the summary of today's discussion. Ricky Man Shahid Shabazz did mention the day the trumpets will be sounded. Yes, that's what it's all about, people, huh? That's a heavy, heavy discussion here today. And a touchy subject, because most don't want to think about that day, and they really don't want to believe in it, people. That's why we're here with you, to waken you to reality and let you know that this is all what life here on earth is all about. That's the final reality, and the reality, that is the reality. People, this will be the day of resurrection, the day when the sinners will be gathered together. They will be awakened from the grave spiritually, blind, and with terror in their hearts because of the sinful way they lived in this world. Those who truly fear the displeasure of their Lord the law will have no fear because they live their lives in purity and righteousness. This is no game or joke, people. This Allah says will happen very soon, as Imam Shahid Shabazz has told you. He's already said that. This is going to happen very soon. Allah says in the Quran, Allah's last revelation, that those whose good deeds will weigh heavily on the scale of justice will obtain their soul salvation. But Allah says those whose evil deeds weigh more on the scale of justice will enter the fire to dwell therein forever. Think seriously and deeply on this matter, people, because it's closer than you can imagine. And don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late to get your life together, because there is a cutoff date for you. There's a cutoff time. Don't keep doing what you want to do, thinking that you're God, denying yourself, and then when it's time, and you feel it in your soul, that it's time for you, your name to be called, and yet to return back to your Creator, then all of a sudden, you feel terror, you become frightened. Huh? It's too late then. Too late then. So people, think seriously of who you are, what your purpose is on earth, right? Who you belong to, and where you head to. This is very serious. And now, I want to remind you again that you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And we want to ask you, those of you who have joined us, to push the number one button on your phone. If there's any questions or comments that you have, we'd love to hear from you. We want you to join us. Again, this is your discussion. This is your show. And now I'm going to call on some of our beautiful guests here who has been with us for a minute. I believe the first guest is 404-247-4713. Thank you for joining us. As-salamu alaykum. Obviously, ma'am, and ma'am, Abdul Kareem. As-salamu alaykum. Ma'am Kareem from Georgia.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister and brother?
We're very good. Hope you are, brother Kareem, Imam Kareem. And I would like to greet you in the greetings of peace. Again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I'd like to talk about marriage. But first, I want to tell you and give you an update about what's been happening with me and why I haven't made any videos in the past month or so. My eyes are still not completely back 100%, and I have an appointment with the doctor on October the 3rd that should give me full clearance to go back to my routine of making videos of what Allah says and sharing them with all mankind where it's possible. The inner city voice for Dawah is still alive and well, and inshallah we'll get some more videos out to you soon. What Allah says about marriage, Islam is the only style of living that makes it easy to enjoy the full rewards of living the way Allah, the creator of all, prescribed for his creation. The Holy Quran is a book of instructions and warnings. The instructions teach us how to live in peace and contentment, while the warnings warn against what will happen if we don't follow the straight path. The definition of marriage varies around the world, not only between cultures and religions, but also throughout the history of any given culture and religion, evolving to both expand and constrict in who and what is encompassed. But typically, it is principally an institution in which interpersonal relationships, usually sexual, are acknowledged or sanctioned. In some cultures, marriage is recommended or considered to be compulsory before pursuing any sexual activity. It is the duty of every Muslim to follow the Islamic laws, not only in matters of prayers and fasting, but in all actions. Islam has well-defined rules about marriage and sex. So if you want to follow Islam fully, then you must know the Islamic rules and regulations governing married life. Islam has never repressed the natural feelings of human beings, but provides divine rules that teach the boundaries to keep us safe. These divine rules not only enable you to be faithful to your religion, but also shield you from the barrage of sex literature that portrays this natural instinct as one that must be feared, misunderstood, and left uncontrolled. Western Judeo-Christian sexual morality permits many things that are forbidden in Islam. The reason for the exclusion of certain actions is not to act as a violation of an individual's freedom, but because Islam is concerned not only with your physical well-being, but also your spiritual enhancement. Moreover, we see the decline of society where absolute sexual freedom prevails. Allah created men and women as company for one another, and so that they become parents and live in peace and calmness according to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, "And of his signs is this, that he has created for you wives from your own species, that you may find peace with them, and created love and mercy between you. Surely in this there are many signs for those who reflect." This is in Surah Ar-Rum, verse 21. "The Creator's perfect wisdom is such that he has not created man in one sex only, but in two sexes, which are identical in humanity, which have the same basic formula of their figure and form. But the two have been created with different physical structures, different mental and psychological qualities, and different emotions and desires. Then there has been created such a wonderful harmony between the two that each is a perfect counterpart of the other. The physical and psychological demands of the one match squarely with the physical and psychological demands of the other. Moreover, the wise creator is continuously creating the members of the two sexes in such a proportion since the dawn of the creation that in no nation and in no region has it ever happened that only boys or only girls have been born. This is a thing in which human intelligence has absolutely no part to play. Man cannot at all influence the course of nature, according to which girls continue to be born with the feminine qualities and the boys with the masculine qualities, which are perfectly complementary to each other. Nor has he any means by which he may change the proportion in which men and women continue to be born everywhere in the world. The working of this system so harmoniously and perpetually in the birth of millions and billions of human beings since thousands of years cannot be accidental either, nor the result of the common will of many gods. This is a clear indication of the reality that one wise creator and one only in the beginning made a most appropriate design of a man and a woman by his infinite wisdom and power, and then made arrangements that precisely in accordance with that design, countless men and countless women should be born along with their separate individual qualities in the right proportion." I'm going to stop there for this session. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And you know what? I really appreciate you bringing in that subject of marriage. in Islam, because now even myself am not exempt from the temptations of this lustful world. Allah says about this lustful world that this world is a world of lust and temptation. And the law said this world is a deceiver. And the law said if the man and woman follow this, the thinking of this dunya, this dead world, that will keep them divided and that will keep us committing moral sins as you was speaking of. Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon him, he said righteousness is good morality. And also he said, Allah says in the Quran that he revealed to his prophet Muhammad, he said, marriage is sacred. He created marriage, as the Imam was saying, for procreating. And not only for procreating, but he said he created man and woman and put his love and mercy between their hearts, made them one soul that they may work on this earth in righteousness and justice. You know, let us treat each other with justice. You can't have justice without equality. And the law say about marriage that the man and the woman is to treat each other with mutual respect and admiration, because they're not really treating each other so much good as the flesh, but they're respecting the dignity and the goodness of Almighty Allah inside of each other. And that's where Allah put his ruh, spirit, into man and woman and made us one soul. One soul. So all humanity is one, essentially one soul. So we thank you again for that topic, because I needed to hear that topic also. None of us should ever think each day, Muslim or non-Muslim, none of us should think that we are safe. Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, said also in his instructions out of the Quran from our Creator that the best man, Muslim man, is, and Muslim means one who submits their will to the will of Allah. So if a man is doing that, then that man, he say, will be the man to treat his family at the best. If he fear Allah, if he fears his Creator, and he fears to go against his Creator's will, Allah, he will be striving to be the best to his family. And if a man assume that role, like a man named Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, said, it don't make you a man to make a baby. It make you a man when you can take care of that baby. It don't make you a woman to conceive a baby. It make you a woman when you take care of that child and direct and guide that child on the right path, on the straight path that will lead them into their Creator's righteousness, lead them into his world of rational, common sense, good thinking. And we don't have this in the world today. And marriage begins the society. I'm going to stop with this, but it starts with Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. So marriage is the foundation. Good marriage, a marriage that's based on taqwa, a marriage that's based on pleasing the Creator and not pleasing each other, is the best marriage. And Allah says, to go along with what you said in marriage, Allah says, even before in lawful marriage, He says, even before you come together with your spouse in sexual intimacy, He says, do some good for your soul before you do that. Why do He say that? Because the sexual act itself is not for our soul. It don't give us spiritual closeness to Allah to do that. No, Allah say, do some good for your soul before you commit this physical act. And Allah, in my conclusion, say, don't let your lust, the lust of sex, become your God. You know, most Muslims and most people now, sex has become their God. And as you said, amen, led people into all types of horrific sins. And Allah said it all starts from not controlling our sex desire. And in my final two words, Allah said, we guarantee, Prophet Muhammad said that Allah said, we guarantee as human beings him two things. Guarantee our creator two things. He said he would guarantee us paradise, that we would go to heaven after we die. We will make it back home to him in this eternal heaven, Jannah. If we guarantee him, we will control our tongue, what we say out of our mouth, and guarantee him self-control of what's between our legs. He said, if you can do that, he will guarantee you paradise. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the Alfi of the Creator. And as you can see, we have a heavy discussion here. And all of these people, yes, even though we talk about marriage mainly, it relates to the day the trump will be sounded. Why? Because life on earth is established through marriage. And that's very serious today. Why? Because the marriage institution has crumbled, has failed. We have more single families than we do married couples. We have more children being born into single families where there is not a two parent, with only just one parent, and that's usually the mother. So it's very serious that it again, from it again. We don't bring life on earth until what? We unite as one through. It should be through marriage. That should be the correct way. But man has done evil things, and that's why we're talking about the trumpet being sounded, to remind him he has to pay for these evil things. Either way of life he has chosen to live and bring a life on earth without the way that is supposed to be brought to establish communities, to establish society through spiritual way, the right way. And then things will start happening the right way. And they want to know why all this wrong is going on without looking at self and those fingers pointing back to self. Yes, people, marriage is a foundation. And the deadly trumpets will be sounded. You will have to answer to why are all these children on this earth without both parents, the mother and the father? You have to answer to that. And you have to face the reality of that. We do have another guest here that's been with us for a while. So without any further delay, here we're going to call on her, him, I don't know. It's a 202 number, 674-3189. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Sister Nafisa, Washington, D.C. I'm just a listener today, Sister Islam.
Well, thank you, sister, for joining us. We're always glad to have you to know that. Yes, it's wonderful.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah bless you, continue to bless you and your family, sister. And just enjoy yourself. Anytime that you would like to say something, let us know. I'll come back to you later just in case you do have a comment. But right now, just enjoy this show. Yes, ma'am. All right. If there's any more out in the audience at this time who have something to say, please push the number one button on your phone. Push the number one button. Your number will show up here in our studio. And we would love to have you come on and give your comment. Again, too, this is your show. It's not just our show or the email show, even though he's giving a beautiful gift. They're bringing beautiful messages from the Quran in case there is some person, sister, brother. Please feel free to push that number one button and ask us. Or if there's a comment you'd like to make on something, it's your show. That's who the show is for. Again, we're bringing you now, take you back to our brother we have here in Georgia.
Remember, dual Kareem. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. We mentioned in that ayah that verse in the Quran that Allah created love and mercy between the man and the woman. The love that he means is sexual love, which becomes the initial reason for an attraction between man and woman, and then keeps them attached to each other. Mercy implies the spiritual relationship which gradually develops in matrimonial life, by virtue of which they become kindly, affectionate, and sympathetic towards each other. So much so that in old age, sexual love falls into the background, and the two partners in life prove to be even more compassionate towards each other than they were when young. These are the positive forces which the Creator has created in man to support the initial longing of his nature. That longing and restlessness only seeks peace and satisfaction and brings the man and the woman into contact with each other. After that, these two forces emerge and bind the two strangers brought up in different environments so intimately together that the two remain attached to each other through every thick and thin of life.
That's right.
Evidently, this love and mercy, which is being experienced by millions and millions of people in their lives, is not anything material which can be weighed and measured.
That's right.
Nor can it be traced back to any of the essential elements of the human body.
That's right.
Nor can the cause of its birth and growth be found out in a laboratory. The only explanation of this can be that the human self has been endowed with it by a wise creator who has done so of his own will to serve a specific purpose. When a person intends to send a proposal for marriage, he must pray 2 rak'ah, praise Allah, and recite the following prayer. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. O Allah, I intend to marry. Therefore, assign for me the most chaste of women and one who would for my sake guard herself and my property, who should be most favorable for increase in sustenance and bounty. Then from her womb, bestow a pure son who would be my sweet remembrance in my life and after my death. Marriage in Islam is an obligatory act that is declared to be one half of a single Muslim's faith. We also say that marriage is half of the deen of Muslims. It is narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man marries, he has fulfilled half of his religion. So let him fear Allah regarding the other half. Our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also married and encouraged others to get married by saying, a person who is able to support a wife and children and does not marry is not from us. Not to delay getting married is emphasized in another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is, do not delay in 3 things, the offering of the compulsory prayer, the offering of the funeral prayer when the dead body is present, and the marriage of a woman when her mate is found. The following are other reasons which emphasize the importance of not delaying marriage.
That's right.
1, marriage makes an incomplete human being a complete one.
That's right.
Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no house has been built in Islam more beloved in the sight of Allah than through marriage. 2, it is necessary for making a family, for children. 3, marriage is one of the most liked sunnah in Islam, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married and also encouraged others to marry. Next, it provides tranquility, peace, and security. It is a bond of love.
That's
not
right.
Not just only between 2 persons, but between 2 families. It is a source to experience love and happiness. Besides this, we have many verses in the Quran related to the importance of marriage in Islam and in the sight of Allah. In one place, Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you of a single soul, and of the same created his mate. And from that pair spread countless men and women over the earth. Fear that Allah, in whose name you demand your rights from one another, and abstain from violating relations between kinfolk. Note it well that Allah is watching you very closely. This is in Surah An-Nisa, verse 1. The introduction beautifully suits the subsequent laws and regulations about human rights, especially about the smooth running of the family life. On the one hand, the people have been urged to fear Allah so as to escape his displeasure, while on the other, they have been reminded that all human beings have sprung from one and the same parent and are thus closely related to one another. He created you of a single soul. At first, one human being was created, and then from him, the race spread over the earth. Therefore, they should strictly observe the ties and obligations of kinship. I'm going to stop here for this session and let somebody else speak. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Abdul Karim, and thank you for this beautiful tafsir, a teaching and understanding of this way of life, because I know in this English language, Islam is called a religion, but in the Arabic, you know, you understand, because Allah has blessed you to understand in Arabic, in His words, in the Quran, I had a point, it kind of slipped my mind, but anyway, marriage is a sacred institution, and Allah says of all the things that He permit us to do in this world, marriage is the one that He hates the most for us to do. He hates for us to divorce. But He say, if you're not happy with one another, don't fear to dissolve that relationship, that marriage, and wait till He ask Him to bless you with someone that will be compatible with you, and that realize that marriage is not just for the pleasure of the man and woman and children, but marriage is for the good pleasure of Almighty God Allah. And as me and someone were saying, the co-host, when you please Allah, that's when you get your good your pleasure. You can't find pleasure in it, in anything Allah created. You can only find pleasure in striving to please Allah. And as you said, Allah says clearly in His book, His last revelations, the Quran, He clearly says that marriage is the foundation in which He created to build the human family from. And he say our marriage is supposed to teach the man and woman not only their responsibility and obligations to themselves and their family, their immediate family, but also to their human family. This is what most people in religion are leaving out today. They take care of their family. I was at in one masjid about 40 some years ago in Durham, North Carolina, and I've heard it recently from another man. They're very off base, they wouldn't listen to what I was saying, but it's in the Quran. They were saying, if you married, you fulfill the other half of your deen, so you complete, so you ain't got to really go out and do no dawah, because just by you being married and obeying the laws of Allah, that's enough. That's good enough right there. That he said that'll get you in the Jannah. And he said that based on the reason that I was out, the only one in my city, and in this going out doing down way, and in this state of North Carolina, and he's absolutely wrong, because Allah says, "What say what in the Quran? Save yourselves and your family from a fire whose fuel is human beings and stones." And he say, "You do this by striving, you and your family, with all that he give you to do what? Bring about peace. Bring about Allah's peace and righteousness and justice on this earth for all human beings, for the whole human race. Because the whole of the human race, as you said before, Allah said he made one soul from one man, one soul. So, you know, that is very important that we understand this. And it's very important that you think deep on what's being said, because you can't get the truth if you don't think deep. See, when I say think deep, I mean think beyond the surface, what you see. You can't make contact with Allah if you only think and go through the rituals of Islam, and even if you read the Quran in Arabic. You understand? And that's pure Arabic. Not the language, but the language of Arabic in the Quran. That's from Allah. That's the language of Allah. Even if you read that Allah's beautiful language and you teach his beautiful language, if you don't go out and practice your obedience to your Creator, your faith is not accepted, whether you say you're Muslim or not. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, had a wife named Aisha, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with her. And someone was asking her about Prophet Muhammad, her husband, and she, about his life. They had heard so much about this good man who was so trustworthy and who was so generous and who was so kind to people. Even if they didn't treat him kind, he treated them kind. Anyway, they wanted to know, how will I know this man? I want to meet this man. She said, she had the Quran with her. She said, in her heart, in her soul, she might even had it in her hand, but that's not necessary. She had it in her heart. And she said, the book, the Quran, the revelation, the last revelation, the reveal to my husband from our Creator, the Quran. She said he lives by every word in that book, from the first chapter to the 114th chapter. That's his life. So if you read that book, you'll be reading the life of my husband. And I'm saying to you, Muslim, Allah says, to go along with that, those who obey Prophet Muhammad, no other prophet, Prophet Muhammad, they obey their Creator, Allah. So you cannot be a true believer in Allah and servant of Allah unless you obey not only Allah's guidance in the Quran, but the hadith, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad and his sunnah. And I tell you one way you'll know whether you're following his sunnah. His sunnah coincides with the Quran, meaning they confirm each other. So if you got a hadith somebody told you, or if somebody told you something Allah said in the Quran, and I'm going to tell you something, I'll share something with you. When you really, Allah said he created the nature of good in every human being, he also said he created the nature in the human being to be able to distinguish right from wrong. So everybody know right from wrong. It's already in your nature. And when you do wrong, you know it. Don't nobody have to tell you. When you do good, you know that too, because it's in your nature. And this is what Allah said about that to Prophet Muhammad, to teach us. Say, when a person do good and they feel good about the good they do, and they do evil, and they hate the evil that they do, then Prophet Muhammad said, Allah said, you're a true believer. You can easily see this, people. So you can say you're Muslim all you want to. You can get even married. I mean, but if you don't practice good morality, then, you know, this world here, you got to prepare here to get to heaven, and then Allah's heaven, and Allah say, "Die not except in a state of submission to His will." Now, Allah's will is what? It's all good. Allah's will is all good. Allah created us in a state of purity as a baby. And Allah said our true nature is the baby nature in us. That baby nature means the baby is innocent. The baby don't know no evil. The baby can't talk. So the baby can't hear. I mean, the baby can hear sounds, but the baby can't talk. The baby don't know no evil. The baby, so, you know, and the baby is totally, this is what I want to say, the most important, the baby is totally dependent on his mother. So this is why Allah said reverence the wombs that bore you. So we are totally dependent on our Creator. And you can look at the world today and see the majority of people, they are dependent on themselves and other people, and they are just destroying themselves. Because Allah said all good come from Him again, and all the evil we see come from ourselves and other people, come from people. All evil come from our own selfish, egotistical, selfish pride. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it the way my Creator say. Or you got some that Allah say will say, I'll follow some of what Allah say, the Creator say. I give him some time, but I got to take some time for myself. And they'll say that the Creator say this is lawful when Allah didn't say this was lawful. He said this is unlawful, like you started off with, ma'am, especially about sex. They'll say this is lawful, unlawful sex, fornication or adultery. And Allah said that's unlawful. But you got a lot of Muslims, as well as in other religions, trying to justify immorality into this way of beautiful way of life that will clean up this world of all this filth and evil and corruption in the hearts and the souls and minds of people. Assalamu alaikum.
Right, my friend. You are listening to the Thunder Broadcast of the National Peace of Balls of the Arch of the Creator. And people, the time is not going today for you. The message on the day the trumpet will be sounded. Although it's coming from a marriage perspective, we have to understand why, because the foundation of life exists through marriage. That's how we as human beings come here on earth. And there were laws and rules and regulations that were given to us, ordained to us from our Creator. He gave us the way of life. He didn't just put us here on this earth, allow us to wander about to and fro, all confused and mixed up with no direction, not know which way to go. No. He gave us through the Quran, through his teachings, through the message, through the Torah, through all of these prophets that he sent to us. He sent directions for the way of life that we are to live. If we don't follow those directions, go astray. He gave us a will, yes, yes, to do, to make a choice, people. But he let us know first. He gave us a reason for making a choice. He let us know how to make that choice. He let us know what we were here for and the way to live and to have peace and enjoy this earth. Actually, he made the earth so that it would be like heaven. That would be another idea of how heaven will be when we reach, as they call it, heaven. Jenna, different names that different people, so-called religious groups, call the return to our Creator. So therefore, people, but this is for the ideal way that He has chosen for us to live on earth. And we should be living in that way, but it's just the opposite we're living. Why? Because with that will, we have chosen to follow the wrong way of life, just the opposite, to rebel. We rebel to people on earth. And people, as a result, we bring about all these problems that we're having today, not thinking that there will be a day when we will have to answer to all these choices that we are making on earth. And in mentioning marriage, I notice that it's not most people want to see them to the man that's been the reason for the divorce. No. People, I have worked with and seen women who had good families, good husbands, they let you know it. But they were not happy with that husband. They met somebody on the job that they saw or so-called said they were in love with. And they were cheating on their husband and family for this man. And it had become so strong with one another that she was trying to make a decision on how to tell her family and let her children know that she was not interested in her husband anymore and she wanted a divorce. She said, not that my husband's not taking care of me, so he gives me everything. He has a home for me, anything I want, the children take care of them. She said, but I just love this man. Now you see that. You can see destroying a family or then she came later. And she worked with me, so she would talk a lot to me and tell me about her daughter and how it has affected her. She let her know her older daughter, the teenage, about 16 or 17. And Lord had, I think she decided to run away from home or something. She'd become very upset because of that. So you see how it affects the home and the foundation of life and starts establishing problems on earth when we go astray for living life the way that our Creator has shown us, has chosen us to live with the foundation of, established from the foundation of marriage. And people, we will have to answer to this. So we must think about when we make these choices, we need to think about the day the trumpets will be sounded. This is what the discussion is all about. This is what we run away from, but we're going to bring it right back to you. And now, people, we have here again. I'll see if my sister this time would like to make a comment on what we're talking about. That's Aisha Malekman. My beautiful sister here. She's probably cooking and listening to the phone at the same time. You know how we get about, sometimes we don't want to talk, we want to base ourselves from doing things we have to do, but still listening to the talk show. So we'll go back now to our brother from Georgia, a man from Georgia. Imam Abdul Kareem, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. We learned from another part of the Quran that Adam was that single soul. He was the first man from whom the whole of mankind sprang up and spread over the earth, and of the same created his mate. We have no definite detailed knowledge of how his mate was created from him. The commentators say that Eve was created from the rib of Adam, and the Bible also contains the same story. The Talmud adds to it that she was created from the 13th rib of Adam, but the Quran is silent about it, and the tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is cited in support of this has a different meaning from what has been understood. The best thing, therefore, is to leave it undefined as it has been left in the Quran and not to waste time in determining its details. Allah, in His infinite wisdom, has laid the ground rules for establishing peace as well as the assigning of different roles to husband and wife as a functional strategy rather than a question of competence as humans. Allah has made partners of all human beings on this earth for making a family. We should trust in Allah and act according to His teaching and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that men and women are twin halves of each other. This is from Bukhari. This hadith emphasizes the fact that men and women are created from a single source. Furthermore, by using the parallel of twin halves, the Prophet ﷺ has underlined the complementary and interdependent nature of the relationship between men and women. The family is the basic foundation of Islamic society, and marriage is the only way to bring families into existence in Islam. Therefore, marriage is an act pleasing to Allah, because it is in accordance with his reason for creating us male and female for each other, so that husband and wife love each other and help each other to continue the human race and raise their children to become servants of Allah. Conditions of marriage. Thoughtful consideration of the Quranic instructions and the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly show that marriage is compulsory for a man who has the means to easily pay the dowry and to support a wife and children. A dowry is money that is paid to the family of the girl at the time that she's engaged. Both sides must be free of obstacles to marry and have legal capacity. Their guardians, the woman's father, grandfather, son, brother, uncle, etc., respectively, must be present at the same time during the proposal and the acceptance. The restrictions of marriage, including the restrictions of blood and milk kinship, must be observed. We're not going to go into those things because it's a long, drawn-out situation that this is not necessary right here. That's something that you can do for research to find out what the relations of kinship are and who a woman can marry and who a man can marry from his own family. There must be no other conditions demanded by any of the sides which may prevent the wedding. The bride and the groom must have reached the age of maturity. Both the bride and the groom must be chaste. In Islam, marriage is not restricted to a non-physical relationship between husband and wife, nor is it solely for procreation. The Islamic term for marriage, nikah, literally means sexual intercourse. So why has Islam provided extensive rules and regulations regarding sex? This was because Islam has fully understood that sexual instincts cannot and must not be repressed. They can only be regulated for the well-being of human beings in this life,
That's
for
right.
their success in the hereafter. Sex in married life has been openly recommended in the Quran. Allah says, they ask about the monthly course, say, it is a state of impurity, so keep apart from women during their monthly course, and do not go near them until they are clean. When they have cleansed themselves, then you may go into them in the manner Allah has commanded you. Most surely, Allah loves those people who refrain from evil and keep themselves pure and clean. Your wives are your land.
Allah's words are true.
So you may go to your land as you please, but you should take care of your future and refrain from the displeasure of Allah. Know it well, that one day you shall meet him. O Prophet, bear good tidings to the believers. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. So we were talking about menses, and menses are not only a state of impurity, but also of disease. During the monthly period, women are medically nearer a state of illness than of health. Allah's instructions, keep apart from them and do not go near them, do not mean that the women should be made untouchables during their monthly periods, as they are by the Jews, the Hindus, and some other communities. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that this command means only to not have intercourse with them during their menses. All other relations with them may be continued as before. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. First of all, I want to say to the co-host that there's noise out here in the background, and people need to hear the show clearly without any distraction. So if the sisters are still on and doing things, she needs to be taken off at this time if she's not going to speak, so we won't hear that noise. I can hear it myself, you know. And we don't need any distractions. Allah says in the Quran, when this revelation is in the Quran, it's being mentioned or taught, listen with attention and hold your peace. So everybody is supposed to be quiet when the Quran is being taught to them, and they're supposed to listen attentively. And, you know, you can't do that when noise is going on. You see this noise? I don't know where it's coming from. You control that, co-host, and I will not speak in the morning to you. You know, you can get that noise out of there. I refuse to do it.
My apologies, sir, but I'm not getting any noise here. Unless we hear the noise on this end, there's nothing we can do about it. So obviously it has to be for some reason on another end, but the only ones that are open are you and me, and the brother Imam. I can close him up. He can still hear, but you won't get the noise from him. Okay. So now it's just you and me, and there's no noise in here anywhere.
Okay. Well, I don't hear the noise now, but I mean, Allah's blessed me with keen senses, and by me being the host of this show, I have certain duties that I have and responsibilities to, you know, do, and that's one of them, to make sure that, you know, the show is being brought to the people clear and truthfully, as it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad. Clear? The clear truth of the Quran, and all truth, not some truth, but all truth is in the Quran for all humanity. So, you know, like I say, this talk, the foundation of this talk is that the day the trumpets will be sounded, most people, they don't have to say a word. You look at their actions, starting with the Muslims and all the Christians, Jews, the three major religions, and then all other religions. And then just people in general on the earth. If it's 7 or 8 billion, how many of it is, the majority of them are living like they're going to be in this world forever. The majority of them say they believe in the hereafter, but you see them grabbing after the things here like the and holding on to the things here like they're going to keep these things here forever. The words that a man or woman say out of their mouth don't prove their faith in Allah. It's their intention and their actions. And they both have to be harmonious. They both have to be coincide with each other. If I say I believe in Allah and Allah's goodness, then even when I make a mistake and sin, Allah said he's often returning in grace and mercy. He's often forgiven. So there's no excuse. If you hear on this show or any individual person, believer that's obeying Allah, if they remind you, Allah said when you see your brother or sister in the wrong, just call them back to the right. Don't condemn them. Don't judge them. Just call them back to the right. Because Allah said if he was to destroy our people for what we deserve. And I start with me. He said he wouldn't leave a single human being on that planet. All of us would be destroyed. So we can see with this right here, statement from our Creator that, you know, Allah said the best of us, our Creator, is guiding and protecting from evil, is the one who's striving for what? Moral excellence. What is moral excellence? That means to be the best in their moral conduct, conducting yourself in a moral way and striving to get more, become more moral every day, to increase your moral morality every day. Because the next day, any day can be the day of our death. And if you die, Allah say in intentional immorality, wrongdoing, sin, whether you Muslim or not, how long you been a Muslim, how you been practicing your faith so good, you say you got to endure in his moral laws and obeying his moral laws until you die. He say, serve me until the hour that's certain, and that hour is death. He goes on in the Quran and says, it's death. Everybody gonna die. And since Allah said, we don't know when we're going to die. Allah said, live every day like it's your last day, preparing yourself for him. And how do we prepare ourselves for our Creator? Allah says in the Quran, in front of Revelation, to all human beings, strive as though we're in a race every day towards all that is good. And on the other hand, they say, strive in a race in repentance. Why do he say strive as though we're in a race in repentance? Because Allah made the human being weak in flesh. We're all weak in flesh. And except through the grace and the mercy of Allah, we can never live a righteous life out here. Never. We couldn't overcome the evil here because we wouldn't have no power, no strength. Allah said he is the protector of the believer. Allah said also disbelieve in him, the munafiqun and the kafirun, the hypocrite and disbeliever. He said they don't have no protection from evil. Only the true mu'minun, the true believer in Allah. And he described in Surah 23, he defines what makes you a true believer in him. And one of the things he said makes you a true believer in him, your creator, Allah, is the fear of our belief in the unseen. And to fear, and then fear Allah. So I'm showing you this. This is important to number two. Why? Most people, you see Muslims, all people, and I'm included too, but the difference in me is this. I fear Allah, and therefore I strive hard each day asking Allah, show me. Bless me to understand what is your will from my will. Because, see, that's what most people are doing. They're confusing their own ill will with the will of Allah. And when you see their actions are not in accordance, ungodly, immoral, you know they don't believe in Allah. Because Allah, if you believe in your Creator and you sincerely fear to displease him, you will strive to stay away from all sin. And Allah says, as the Imam said, my conclusion, that he loved those who restrain themselves when they're angry. And he say also he loved those who keep themselves pure and clean in good morality. Okay, and he said he loved those who call on him constantly. Because if we don't call on our Creator constantly and stay remembrance of him constantly, then that's when evil can come in our life and then start corrupting us like cancer going through your body. But the evil corrupts you through and through, your mind, your soul, your whole being. So you want to stay away from evil, but you got to have a repentant heart. We're not going to be perfect. We're all going to make mistakes every day. We're creatures created to make mistakes. If we don't make no mistakes, what would we need with a Creator? If we didn't do no bad, why would we need to call on our Creator if we was already good? He put us down here to test us in a world that's not real, and a world also, he says, the root of all evil. Allah say this world is the root cause of all evil. And so when we desire the things of this world, and Brother Imam, I want this you to be conscious of, you know, sharing this with the people too. Sex, that's very important in this society. All over the world, sex is being used as the number one tool or weapon of the Satan or the devil, we call commonly, and he's using the woman to seduce. You look on the TV, all you see is nakedness of the woman, mainly. And also, I'm saying this to say that, like you said, in true marriage, Allah says sex has to be regulated. That means you ain't supposed to indulge intersex all the time. Regulations means that there are certain times. And Allah's Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it is authentic hadith saying, and this is his life in the Quran, Allah say he was very abstinent in his sexual life with his wives. He had sex with them very little. Because if you indulge in sex too much, Allah said it will become your God and it will lead you into the hellfire. So we have to prepare for this day that we're going to be resurrected from the dead graves and stand before our Lord to answer for how we lived in this life. And we don't have much time longer. So Allah say live each day he give you. He say live, if you live to see, he blessed you to live to see sunrise. He say live trying to obey his will and follow his moral laws, like you not going to see sunset. And he said, if he blessed you to live to see sunset, he told his prophet to teach us, live as if we ain't going to live to see sunrise again. This is how we should live, you see. See, man has altered things. Allah don't call a day 1 minute after 12. Allah called one day when the sunrise and sunset. That's a day. Okay? That's a day. And then when you go to sleep and rise up, Allah bless you to rise up again in his life. That's another day for you. Another opportunity, another chance for you to what? Recognize your purpose here in this world is not to do your own thing, which destroys you and destroys other people, cause you to destroy other people. But everything in the creation was created for one reason and one reason only, and that is to serve and worship and glorify the creator of it. And everything in the creation, like the beautiful sun out there, is what? It's glorifying Allah. Allah said the birds, when you hear them chirping, he said, they're not just chirping. He said, they're praying. And he said, each bird knows its own way or mode of prayer and praise to Allah. And Allah said he knows all that we do. So there's a lot of deception there going on, and there's a lot of taking morality light. We have to work on good morality 24 hours, 7 days a week, because the Satan is letting all of his weapons out now, because he know the time for evil to cease, for Allah to cease all evil on this planet Earth is very, very near. So he's got his followers, which represents the majority of people, doing all kinds of things to keep people's minds on the TV and the computer, sex, drugs, killings. This is all you see. This is all you hear. You see? So we, as Muslims, we are the ones that are supposed to be leading the world back to the Creator's way, which is what? Good morality. And you take one of the O's out of good, what you got? God. So we know Allah means the Creator in the Arabic language. You can't say God in English because then you turn the word around. It means, oh, you don't attribute none of that, nothing like that to Allah. So we say Allah. Allah means one who always have existed before anything we see existed. And he always will exist after all things he created, what? Pass away. That's the real creator right there for everybody. Because tell me you ain't going to die. He's the giver of life and death. So you're going to die, people, and if you don't believe there's going to be a day of judgment where you're going to be judged, and that, as the sister said in the beginning, if your good deeds, the Creator say, Allah say, outweighs your bad deeds, then you will obtain your soul salvation. You will be able to enter the heaven of our Creator, Allah. And Allah said, if your evil or bad deeds here on earth outweighs your good deeds, you will enter the hellfire to dwell therein in it forever. And this is, and people don't take this serious. They say they want to go to heaven, but most of them ain't preparing to die. You don't have to prepare for death in order to go to heaven. Do you understand that, people? You got to die mentally to your own ways to receive a lost truth in you. You got to die to your desires in your heart and desire only to please Allah in order to live as a human being and for Allah to guide you. You got to die in those ways in order to live spiritually. You got to die to your own ways and accept only the will or ways of the Creator, which is the Quran, for every human being. So, you know, basically, we're about probably about ready to bring this to a conclusion. So I would turn the speaker over to the ma'am in Atlanta, or the co-host, and let them say a few words. And we're probably about ready to conclude. But I hope everybody's getting the lesson Allah is the Creator is blessing us to try to share with you. And I hope that he's pleased with what we said to you, and that we he forgive us if we said anything of our own and other than his will. I hope that he's blessed us to say only what he revealed to his prophet Muhammad for all human beings, not just Muslim, but for all humankind. I mean, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And it's time again, that time again. We have about 3 minutes left in which we will close out again with our prayer. And we thank you for joining us. Please invite others to join us also when you come on Sundays. Remember the blessings that you get from that. And join us again next Sunday, same time, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on your phone. And you have a number you dial, 347-884-8511. And now we will have the Imam to close out for us at this time without prayer. Assalam.
All right, thank you very much. It's my pleasure and honor. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we give all praise to the one creator of all human beings and all things in the heavens and the earth. We acknowledge that there's nothing to be worthy of worship or praise except the one who created everything. He's one. He have no partners. He have no mother. He beget no son. So this right here is called Ikhlas in the Quran. It's a chapter in the Quran. And why it's called Ikhlas in Arabic means purity of faith. This is how we purify our faith, and our faith is accepted by our Creator. That is that we recognize he's only one, and we give him all the praise, all the glory for any good that we receive in this world in our short time of being here. So we thank him for blessing us with another beautiful talk show and with the people he used, me, myself included, to just use as an instrument to relay his message to you. And I say, oh Allah, forgive us of our faults and our sins, and those of us who have good intentions, help us, you know, to conform to your will and take our will so we won't do wrong. Because you have already told us if we follow our will, we'll always do wrong. And if we follow your will, we'll always be in accord with your righteousness. So we pray that you people have a repentant heart. Keep your heart turned in repentance to your Creator. And always be grateful and thankful to your Creator for each day he gives you. Because it's another gift, and it's the most precious gift. Why? Because he's giving you an opportunity to prepare yourselves for his real, for the real world that lasts forever, where there's no more killing.
Oh, you know, you, why did he cut it off like that? Oh, boy.
One who would forbid the wrong, one who would enjoin the right. And from the day you were born, that promise was kept true. There was so much work to do, but something special about you, and that something